15, one verse, and then over to chapter 16, the first four verses. The Gospel of John is so much about love. In fact, we've referred to the Apostle John as the Apostle of Love. He's the one that gives us the picture of Jesus washing the disciples' feet. And he says about that, Jesus showed his disciples the full measure of his love. That was the motivation behind it all. He's the one that recorded the words for us, "Greater love has no one than this, that he should lay down his life for his friends." So you should certainly feel loved by God by the time you're done reading the Gospel of John. But it also warns us that we're going to be hated by the world. Same gospel, loved by God, hated by the world. And that kind of got my mind thinking about love-hate relationships. And I wonder if there are any pure love relationships that a little hate doesn't get in every once in a while. But I read a couple quotes that I thought were kind of apt. When you love, you get hurt. When you get hurt, you hate. When you hate, you try to forget. When you forget, you start missing. When you start missing, you'll eventually start loving again. Another quote, similar. I love you, but I hate you. I'm better off without you. I want you out of my life, but I never want to let you go. It sounds a little disturbed, doesn't it? But there's a little bit of truth in every relationship there. Or maybe you've never gotten angry at your spouse. Maybe you've never been frustrated with a member of your family. You're probably much more spiritual than I am. But that love-hate relationship. I'm very familiar with love-hate relationships. I'm a sports fan. My wife will often say to me, "What's wrong with you? You're cheering for them one minute, then you're booing and yelling at the TV the next. Some kind of fan are you? Make up your mind." Yeah, make up your mind indeed. And I believe that's what the Lord is bidding us in today's text. Are you going to be a follower of God or not? If anything can keep you from following him, it will. You've got to decide to be a follower of Jesus Christ no matter what. John chapter 15 and verse 25. Then on to chapter 16, the first four verses. But this is to fulfill what is written in their law. They hated me without reason. All this I have told you so that you will not fall away. They will put you out of the synagogue. In fact, the time is coming when anyone who kills you will think they are offering a service to God. They will do such things because they have not known the Father or me. I have told you this so that when their time comes, you will remember that I warned you about them. I did not tell you this from the beginning because I was with you. Father, we often bust on the disciples because they didn't get it. You said to them, I'm going to go to Jerusalem, I'm going to hang on a cross, I'm going to raise from the dead, and they just didn't get it. You said it to them, but it's like they weren't listening. I have the same malady, God, I think we all do. You say a lot of things that we completely ignore. We hear what we want to hear, even from the Word of God. Open up our ears this morning to hear the warnings that you're giving, the adjustments that we need to make to our expectations so that we're ready on the days that it doesn't go as planned, that we're still at it, still after you, that we get it right. And we'll thank you for your help here today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So, why does the world hate God? You ever consider that question? Why does the world, he gave us everything. He's, you know his heart, you know what he's like. Why does the world hate him? Well, Jesus gave us the answer. They hated me without reason. They hated me without cause. There is no good reason. They've come up with a lot of this, a lot of chatter, a lot of lies. But they hate God for no good. They resist God. The Lord is good. He's a good, good Father. He blesses us with every good and perfect gift comes down from Him. Why would anybody resist Him? Oh, they may have their reasons. Well, I prayed for my mom and she died. God did not answer. He said He would in His word, but it didn't happen for me. And so, why should I believe in Him when He has not done what He said He would do? Others might be mad at God because of their looks or of how talented they're not. Lord, why did you give them such good looks and look at me? I sing like a frog. Well, you know, even Kermit became famous. But in the verse above our text, it says that even people whom God has revealed Himself to, has done miracles for, a lot of them have decided they're not going to follow Him either. They're going to hate Him too. They have seen, and yet they have hated both me and my Father. I've seen it my whole career as a pastor. People have come desperate, and they've had such a need, and we've prayed together. And often we've seen God bring them through and do marvelous things. And they go right back to their old lifestyle. They continue on as they were. God met their need. They even made promises. If God would do this for me, I'll serve Him the rest of my life. Liar, liar, pants on fire, eating your curds and whey. You're not following through. God has continued to be good, but you are not being a follower like you should. We may have lost something or someone very precious to us. We might be quite disappointed in a turn that our life has taken. Maybe our health isn't what it was or what we hoped that it would be. Still, every breath we breathe, every morsel we eat. I've had some good morsels lately. I don't know about you, but we've had friends showing up at our door here lately and bringing the best food. Some people must think we're starving because the amounts and so on. We've got it packed in the freezer, and we're going to be eating for a long time off of what has been provided. But every single morsel of food, and I love different flavors, don't you? To eat the same thing day after day, but God did that. In fact, God even thought of taste buds. You wouldn't be able to taste that salty taste. You would be able to eat just one if it wasn't for your taste bud. Or that sweet, is that good? Or to smell. God brought all of that to us. The senses that we have. Couldn't do it without Him. Every beautiful sunrise we enjoy, so much more is brought to you by your Father in heaven. He is our Creator, Sustainer, Redeemer, and Inheritor. He made us, He feeds us, He died for us, and we're all going to appear before Him someday very soon. Wow, He is everything. Can you understand how foolish it is to shake our little fist? I hate you. Why didn't you do this for me? Oh my, as the worship team reminded us this morning, He is so worthy of praise. We should be thanking Him continually for all that He is and all that He has done. Have you noticed the world's obsession with the dark side? Time was, people were afraid of the dark side, they hated the dark side, it was icky. But now, people dress with skulls and, you know, all this ugly stuff and death and Death Wish and the songs that they sing and everything else. I was in Walmart. What was the guy saying? If you like doing things we're not supposed to do, I'm the perfect man for you. That's the way the song was going. I thought, oh my. They're just blaring it all over Walmart, you know. Here we are, we're getting the goods and services that we need to survive through, and they're corrupting us the whole time, you know. If you like doing things we're not supposed to do together, then I'm the perfect man for you. I thought, she ought to take a spatula or a rolling pin and clonk him right over the head. Oh, let me lead you in corruption. Let me be your partner on the way to hell. And it was a fancy tune, you know. You picked it up real quick. You find yourself humming and singing it on your way to your car, you know. They're indoctrinating us with it all. As I've said so many times, the devil is so good at propaganda. You would think that death is a wonderful thing. You would think that pain and suffering and sin and immorality and drunkenness and all of that is just the greatest thing on earth. It's killing us. It's killing us. There's no life outside of God. There's nothing good apart from Him. And if that's how they feel about a perfect God, they hate Him. Oh my. If that's the perfect God, what if the devil really was in charge? What if he orchestrated everything? What would the world be like? I know everybody always says, well, if there's a loving God, why is there so much pain and suffering? I say, woo. If it wasn't for a loving God, we would have killed each other a long time ago. It's only by His intervention. It's only by His grace. It's only by His grace that He didn't push the button already. And here we are, alive and well and fed and clothed and so many amenities. They keep making cars better and better. Have you noticed that? Well, for the longest time, they don't make them like they used to. Well, a lot of times that's a good thing. I got a backup camera just in time. Because now I'm old. And I was finding myself cockeyed when I was parking all the time and all that. Well, now, and next generation, you know, when my kids are my age, they're just going to have to push it. The thing parks itself. In fact, they probably won't have to push any buttons. They say that kids that are born today will never need a driver's license. They'll get in the car and they'll tell the car where they want to go, and it will go. It's amazing. God is good to us. Civilization, against its greatest efforts, continues to do well. And these inventions come and things are coming together. There should be a lot of praise to God. And if they hate God who is perfect, why are we so disturbed when they've got a problem with us? God has done so much for them. They don't like Him. I don't have to ask if any of you have ever been not liked without cause. Anybody ever hate you and there's no reason for them to? I'm sure you've had the same puzzle and conundrum I have had. I've been good to them. In fact, you're extra good to them. You always smile when you see them. You try to think of nice things. You did nice things for them because you got this puzzle in your mind. What did I do to offend them? What did I ever do that they don't like me? And some of us have more trouble with that than others. Some, you know, and others, oh, man, what do I have to do? But here's the kicker. How many people have you not liked for no good reason? You see the way he walks? Did you hear what she said? Well, I know what she meant. No, you don't. You just think you do. And we make these judgments. We look at them. I don't like them. Why? I don't know. I just don't. And you watch them long enough to put some things together. Aha, I knew I didn't like them, and I knew this is what it's... You can't even put your finger on it. And then later you find out they're really nice people. In fact, they're cut from a better bolt of cloth than you. You go, oh, Lord, I'm sorry. Again, maybe you're much more spiritual than I, but I tend to make that mistake over and over and get humbled all over again. Lord, I'm sorry. Who am I to judge and to look at others that way? But I think it's the human condition. Dislike first, change mind later. I'll just start you down here so you're not going to disappoint me. And let's see if you can't earn a higher level sometime. Truth be told, we walk around miffed at the Lord half the time. Yeah. You know, oh, I hit my head again. Why? Oh, I'm sorry, Lord. I'm the idiot, not you. Having a bad day. Oh, Lord. You know, some of the songs we sing. I thought by now, but you have never failed me yet. Every time someone hates you without cause, or your foot swells, or your car won't start, or you watched your team lose after having been up 30 points. Oh my. It's time to settle it in our hearts and in our minds. God is good and deserves our praise, period. Things happen in life. Life is hard, but God is good. And he is deserving of our love, our admiration. We're flawed. It's amazing anyone likes us. Really. I mean, if they really knew us, if they saw us when we're in our mood. I forget who was talking about it the other day. I guess they were talking about it on the radio. But the fella said, one of the neighbor ladies had come over to see his wife and was in the house, and he didn't realize she was there. And he's yelling, you know. And, hey, who left the toaster around? And the crumbs are all around. And comes around the corner. There, oh, hi. How you doing? You know. I didn't know you were like that. And she didn't say that, you know, or anything, but just, he is all of us. Really, if they saw us at our worst, you all think I'm so nice, don't you? You ought to talk to my wife. You might get a different story sometimes. We're flawed. I'm pleasant when everything's going well. But man, I can get hangry. I can get cranky when I'm tired. You don't want to catch me right before bed. I mean, when my sights are set on bed, don't get in between me and the bed. Don't remind me of something I should be doing while I'm on my... Ooh. Ooh. Let's see. Cranky when I'm hungry and when I'm tired. What does that remind you of? A big baby. But Jesus warns us that this life will not always be pleasant. And I think to myself, there are believers around the world in prison tonight. They don't have a bed that they're going to go to. And they're being persecuted for the name. And look at me. I can put more clothes on or take as the temperature dictates. I've got a refrigerator and a pantry full of whatever I would like. And if not, I live a half mile from Walmart. I can have it all anytime. This is an amazing life. The world will hate us just because we love God. They hate him. They're going to help us. They're going to hate us. He'll be kind to them. They will turn on us. We want to serve God and everything go well, happy, happy, joy, joy, 24/7. Ooh, wouldn't that be nice? And sometimes we misrepresent the gospel as that's what happens. Come to God and ha-ha, the lights come on. You'll never bump your head again. never strike your toe on the bedpost and it's all going to be good. That's not what Jesus said. Verse 7 of chapter 16, he said, "But very truly I tell you, it is for your good that I'm going away. Unless I go away, the advocate will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. All this I have told you," he said in verse 1, "lest you go astray." He said, "Now look, I don't want you to have the wrong idea. I'm going to go away. It's going to be really rough for a while. I'm going to send the advocate. That's going to be good. But it's never going to be smooth sailing. And I want you to know this, or else you're going to fall away. If I was to paint you a picture that it's all going to be good and happy and there's never going to be any trouble in your life, when the trouble comes, you're going to say, 'He's a liar. He didn't tell me this was going to go on. And none of it must be true.' He said, 'I'm telling you now so that when it happens, you'll be ready for it. So here it is. You're going to have some trouble in your life. In fact, there are going to be some missiles that hit that really rock your world. Doesn't mean I don't love you. Doesn't mean that I don't have good in mind for you. Doesn't mean that it's not going to land great. But in any given moment of your life, there may be sorrow, there may be despair, there may be darkness, there may be betrayal. But take heart, I have overcome the world. And all things work together for good to them that love God and are called according to his purpose in their life." When believers expect divine health, abundant prosperity, and the favor of the government, but what they get is a fold-out couch in somebody's basement, their bank account gets wiped out, and the government starts persecuting Christians, when they're expecting one thing and they get the opposite, their faith is broken. They walk away despondent. What was wrong? It was the expectations. When you are expecting, now there's a difference between faith and wrong expectations. In faith, we know that we are more than overcomers through Jesus Christ. I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. No matter what comes today, I'm going to be an overcomer. His mercies are new every morning. No weapon formed against me will prosper. Woo-hoo! That's different from saying, "Why did this happen to me? I should never get sick. I should never have a problem. They shouldn't fire people like me. And why did that person speak so evil against me when I've been nothing but good to them?" Do you see the difference between those two things? God said, "Trouble will come, but you'll overcome. I will be with you and you will overcome." He doesn't say trouble will never come. That's a wrong expectation. We will be hated without cause. Trials of many kinds. Magistrates will try to prosecute us. Jesus said, "Now when you get dragged into court for believing in me." Well, wait a second. When we what? No. Because we believe in you, when we win the publisher's clearinghouse, we'll be very faithful in how we distribute the funds, knowing that they all came from you. That's how many prefer that gospel? You don't know? Well, that's not a gospel, is it? That's not a gospel. Wrong set of expectations. Don't choose Jesus and then whine from here to eternity. But I thought I was going to get a new car. But I thought you'd go. It happened at the worst possible time. Don't choose Jesus, then whine from here to eternity. A lot of us think we can complain right up to the golden gates, and then all of a sudden, it's going to be wonderful. That's not God's plan. That's not God's plan. Lord, please help me to be patient and have a Christ-like spirit. We may get trouble from the world, but we have peace with God, and we also have the peace of God. Two different blessings. We have peace with God the moment his blood is applied to our account and we are forgiven for all our sins. We have peace with God. We have a home in glory. Hallelujah. But we may not yet have the peace of God. That is acquired as we put our faith in Him. It tells us in Philippians to think on good things, to remember His promises, and the God of peace will be with you. So we restructure our mind and our thinking, and we allow the Lord to minister to us, and He becomes our all in all. You might recall a couple months ago, we talked about don't listen to your heart, talk to it. Remember David said, "Why so disturbed, O my soul? Hope thou in God." He didn't wake up and say, "Boy, I don't feel, something's wrong." Well, what could be wrong? Oh, yeah, this and that and the other. No wonder I feel terrible. No, he said, "Why so disturbed, O my soul? God's still on the throne. Don't listen to your heart. Talk to it. And now, heart, we're not going out of this house until this is right. We're going to change our attitude. We're going to change our thinking before we get out of here." And so you begin to feed it the word of God. Friend, you are as safe as a lamb in the shepherd's arms during a thunderstorm. It may rock and roll and roar outside, but you just cuddle in a little bit closer. "Lord, I remember this. I remember. I'm sorry. I got a little disturbed by the booming in the sky." I remember when Josh was a toddler. We had a horrific thunderstorm there in Shanksville. And it boomed and shook the house. And he got all scared. And we said, "That's God booming in the sky. That's God letting us know He's there." And he ran over to the window and he said, "Booming in the sky, booming in the sky." And ever since then, it was music to his ears. That's God letting us know He's up there. It's our attitude and the way we look at it. You got to say sometimes, "Nope, I'm not leaving the house until I got this right." Or, "I'm not getting out of the car until I've adjusted my, I'm not saying a word to anybody. Oh, that I might be able to live according to that. I'm not saying a word to anybody until it's right up here, and then it can come out right here." Lord, you are good. Jesus doesn't promise deliverance every time, but sustenance always. God does not promise deliverance every time, but sustenance always. It's not always going to miss your house. Sometimes the bad report from the doctor's office comes to your dwelling. But He will sustain you through it no matter what. He is with us always. Court the favor and the wisdom of the Holy Spirit. "Lord, I'm sorry I got all bent out of shape over this. I'm sorry I got so upset. I blew it. Forgive me, but help me now. When this happens again, the next time something comes around, help me to be a little bit higher than I am right now. Help me to take it in stride. Help me to get to the place where I say, hallelujah, praise the Lord. I don't know what you're doing now, but I know you're still working. And I know that you're still good." And finally, I find that worship is such a key to overcoming. As the thoughts are going through your head and your mind goes to the worst case scenario, don't listen to your heart, don't listen to your mind, talk to it. And one of the greatest ways of that is just worship. And get into a worship set. Let it pour over you. Be part of the worship team as they're worshiping and lift your heart to God until your mind and your heart are in a different place. Let it be rehabilitated as you lift up the Lord. Would you stand with me this morning? The Lord inhabits the praises of His people. Don't worry, worship. Stream a good worship service. Feel the stress go. Let peace rise as you look to the Lord. Build my life. Build my life. Let's sing that together.
Worthy of every song we could ever sing. Worthy of all the praise we could ever bring. Worthy of every breath we could ever breathe. We live for you. worthy of every breath we could ever breathe. We live for you. We live for you.
Pray the, we sing these things. We also pray them at the same time. Well, aren't we good at making declarations? I will not be shaken. I will always worship you. I'll remember. Boy, Lord, what we're praying this morning is help us to get better at this thing called life. Forgive us for our sins. In fact, show us what they are. May we see ourselves when we're frustrated, when we're hangry, when we're cranky. And may we reach out to you and become better in those moments. May we remember, God, we're not the only ones living a life. Everybody around us, they've got their stuff too. But may we somehow forget about us and bless them. That always kind of helps me, Lord, when I can help somebody else. So thank you, Lord, and we pray you to equip us. Maybe even while we go over to our meet and greet, maybe we'd be a little deeper than just surface people. Maybe we'd really ask, or maybe we'd remember what somebody already told us about what they're going through and ask about it and care about it. Maybe even pray for them right there in the middle of everybody and just trust you for what we need for the next step. Thank you for being you, loving us like you are a good God. I'm sorry, Lord, for every time we've cast shade on that. You're a good God. We love you. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Amen.